You're listening to the All Mom Does podcast, where you'll find encouragement, information, and inspiration for the life you're living, the kids you're raising, the romance you're loving, and the faith you're growing. I'm your host, Julie Lyles Carr. Let's jump into this week's episode. A couple of things that are really special about today's episode. The first is it's with Max Licato, and this is his third time coming back to the podcast. I'm so honored. Max's writing has had such an impact in my own writing career, and to know that he wanted to come back on and talk to you, the incredible listener, was really exciting to me. The second thing that is really interesting to note about this episode is this. Max has a real heart right now for kids and teens going through anxiety. You know, it's pretty interesting. We already saw anxiety levels amongst kids and teens beginning to rise. And now that the pandemic has been part of all of our histories, we're finding that anxiety levels for kids are even higher. And for some of our kids, heading back into the classrooms and going back to quote unquote life as normal is going to feel anything but normal for them as we head into these days ahead of us, all of us trying to come through what has been historic in this pandemic and all of us doing a pandemic for the first time and trying to figure out how to go back into some of the life situations and routines and experiences and do it in a healthy and safe way. So Max's heart for kids who are walking through these kinds of things, the kinds of resources he's wanting to bring to the table for moms and dads to be able to talk about anxiety, to be able to talk about emotions, I think you're going to really find a lot of wisdom and heart and value there. Now, in all of that, Max is approaching this very much from a spiritual place and what we can do as moms and dads. And there is also that place too to remember that if you have a kid who's really struggling with anxiety, talk to your health provider, talk to that licensed counselor, talk to that therapist. It's really important for all of us as we begin to come through all of these elements, which have made all of us feel pretty insecure and to carry a lot more stress and anxiety than maybe we usually do, to make sure we're getting the help that we need. So today, I'm so delighted, so honored to welcome Max Licato back to the All Mom Does podcast. Hey, this is your third time on the show. This is good. You're setting a record. You are my first third time guest. I've had you on a couple times, Priscilla Shire on a couple times, but you are cutting ahead. You are nosing ahead of the line.
You know what they say, better a three-timer than a two-timer.
We'll take it. Well, Max Licato, thank you for being with me today. As always, it is so great to get to connect with you and hear what's going on with you. And I want to hear about a project that you have going on that's really interesting to me. You are doing children's books, which a lot of us have been getting your kids' books for a long time for our kiddos. But it feels like there's a little bit of a departure in Where'd My Giggle Go and An Anxious for Nothing that you have for young readers. I feel like you're really doing a deep dive into some of the harder emotions that our kids can experience. What made you decide to go this direction at this time in your writing?
I've had an interest in the whole topic of anxiety on and off for well over a decade. You know, I've written a book about fear. I've written a couple of books about trusting God in tough times. I wrote a book that was really directly about anxiety, Anxious for Nothing. I think the pandemic really got me, Julie, thinking about how all this was affecting our kids. Right. These statistics, they're so alarming. They're almost impossible to believe. I read one just a month ago. In fact, I've got it here because I couldn't believe it. 91% of people born since 1996 are demonstrating some form of anxiety manifestation or depression. 91%. Wow. So you think about every little kid, every little guy, gal you see walking up to go to middle school, you know, high schoolers, college kids. It's just devastating. I'm sorry, I'm kind of rambling to answer your question, but I really feel a heart these days for young people. And it's kind of odd that I, as a 66-year-old, you know, would feel a heart for young people. But I want them to know we'll be okay. I want them to know this isn't the first time we've had to face a global pandemic. First time that we have, but that there's stories in the Bible that exist to help us face these. And so I think I'm carrying a burden these days for those younger folks.
Right, right. And that resonates with me because, you know, a couple of my kiddos have really struggled with anxiety, and it's been puzzling to me as a mom thinking, well, you know, we've been taking care of things and we're your mom and dad and we're making sure things are buttoned down. And what do you have to be anxious for? And this was even happening prior to the pandemic, because I know that we were seeing those anxiety levels, reported anxiety levels rising amongst our younger people. How do you define anxiety? Because it can be a little bit of a slippery definition sometimes. Those things that we maybe identify as anxiety that maybe aren't, or those things that could be happening in our emotional base that maybe we need a little education on, hey, that's actually anxiety. How do you define it?
Yeah, you know, and you're right. I think that it's kind of difficult to differentiate between fear and anxiety. Sometimes we end up just having our own working definitions. What works for me is that anxiety is a fear that's on steroids. Mm. Fear says there's a snake in the forest. Anxiety says there's a snake in the forest and I'm never going in another forest. Mm. You know,
right.
Fear says you got to be careful when you drive. Anxiety says you got to be careful when you drive. I'm never getting in another car. It's kind of like the house alarm that never goes off. Mm-hmm. So that anxiety is this wear and tear of our fight or flight reaction and it never shutting down. I like to be real quick to point out that anxiety is not a sin. It's really mm-hmm. not. It's just an emotion. It's just an emotion. And it can lead to destructive behavior. But all of us have at times in our life in which we're going through a lot of change, we're facing a lot of stress, a lot of demands, many things are happening at one time, and it could be happening in our bodies, it could be happening in our culture, in our family, it could be happening in our mindset, in the world, in the culture. And so especially when you're young, a lot of this is happening. And so I think anxiety is when we are unable or find it difficult to manage many of the stress and changes that are going on around us. And it results in some behavior that leads to unhappiness.
Right. I was looking back in the Old Testament as prepping for this interview and looking at the Hebrew word for anxious or anxiety. And it's interesting because there's not really a Hebrew word for it. There are some Greek words for it in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. But in the Old Testament, what I found is it would identify it as a multitude of thoughts. Mm. And that really resonated with me.
Wow. I've never seen that.
Yeah. When you can't shut the brain off, you know, I thought that makes me think, okay, there are times that definitely I'm experiencing anxiety and I know what it is. And then there are times that I think I'm being very pragmatic. I'm trying to think through solutions. I'm trying to do the things, but I'm realizing, oh, it's just a multitude of thoughts going off in my head. And it makes me reflect back on when I was a kid. I realize now, even though I probably didn't know this for a long time, there were definitely times I felt anxious as a kid and I didn't have the verbiage to be able to explain what that was.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's really good. And I think I can relate. I think I felt anxiety as a kid. And not only did I not have the verbiage, I didn't have the permission. Oh. And maybe you have to have both, you know, maybe God bless my parents. They didn't know how to use the words anxiety or depression,
right,
or stress. That's almost like some words that were not available to a kind of a simple blue collar family back in the 60s and 70s in West Texas. So right. Yeah, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there. Yeah.
You know, it makes me think too that as parents, a lot of times if we have a child presenting with anxiousness, and like I shared earlier, you know, I'm thinking, well, baby, we've taking care of things, like you're okay. Just wait till you have a job and kids and a mortgage and all that. Just wait. But I think there can be a tendency sometimes to minimize a child's anxiousness. Yeah. And I love that word you used, permission. Mm. How can we, as moms and dads, who a lot of times just want to fix stuff for our kids, we just want everybody to be happy, we just want to kind of smooth over and gloss over, how can we leave room for anxiety in our children, acknowledge it, and yet at the same time, help them not just stew in it? What are some things that we can do to help them feel proactive or like they have a strategy when they begin to feel this way and we help them identify it?
Boy, those are great questions, really great questions. I think we stumbled onto something in our first couple of comments here that maybe we didn't intend to. And that's the word definition and permission. Mm-hmm. Maybe by conversing with our kids about it, we're saying this is a legitimate emotion that you're feeling. And by giving them some language, some words, we're empowering them and teaching them to discuss it. And then I think we could go as parents a few steps deeper. We could say, let's work on a proactive plan for dealing with it. Mm-hmm. You know, here's where we open the Bible to Philippians 4, and we look at Paul's statement, you know, be anxious for nothing. We explain that that doesn't mean that you'll never feel anxious, but it means don't let anxiety dominate your life. How do you avoid dominating a life that's dominated or characterized by anxiety? Well, Paul said, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Mm-hmm. So, honey, what do you think? Let's trace this back to the root. What do you think's really causing you the anxiety today? And I think in doing that, those kind of conversations, we're doing two things. We're dealing, trying to find the root, and then we're helping our child pray about it and identify it. I wish somebody had talked to me earlier in my life and also in my ministry about how for every fruit, there's a root.
Right.
You know, I'm a Texan. That probably sounds like fruit and root.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue.
I'm just trying to say it right. But, you know, I think we deal with this fruit out here, which is anxiety, but there's a root to this. And the teenager might say, well, Mom, the fruit, the reason is because I have a test tomorrow. And that's true. There's a lot to that. Maybe there's something even deeper. Maybe there's an insecurity around this subject of algebra. Maybe there's comparison going on in the school. Maybe there's expectations from parents that we didn't realize we were imposing. So this is an opportunity, if this fruit is out here, to go back and see if in a conversation with our youngsters, we can find the root of it and really, number one, identify it. And then number two, pray for it. I don't want to turn every conversation in with a teenager into a therapy session, by the way. Right. I know that doesn't work. I know that. You can only go as far as the kids want to.
That's but right.
You can kind of sniff around and see how open they are. And as you well know, every so often you'll catch them with a wide open door. Absolutely. And they'll just open their heart to you.
Absolutely. You know, one of mine who's really struggled with anxiety, he has a tendency to catastrophize. Mm-hmm. So it would be, oh, I'm worried about the algebra test. And somehow he would get from there to, I'm going to completely fail in my life, be on the street, never get to own a dog. I mean, he would just like go.
Oh,
no,
you're
whole,
right.
You know,
you're
all the way.
Absolutely right.
But you know, Max, sometimes it's been really helpful to just let him catastrophize with me, because there's almost something to sometimes allowing our kids to say the thing that we're like, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, that's not going to be the end result, but they get to hear it coming out of their mouths. Mm-hmm. And there's something that makes them identify, okay, maybe I'm overshooting this just a little bit, but
hearing it ourselves. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How many times have we sat down with somebody and just unloaded our problem? And then all of a sudden we're feeling better because we just got to air it in front of somebody who was going to let us state it. And our problem, our friend may have said absolutely nothing, or the pastor may have said nothing, or the counselor very little. And we feel better because we heard ourselves expressing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think, I loved what you said at the beginning of our conversation, that anxiety is the thing that not only makes you say, I'm afraid of this, ergo, and this is the addendum to anxiety, I will never do da da da, never go in the forest, never drive in the car, never try the thing. And when I think about certain Bible characters, I realize that sometimes what I thought was fear in them may have been fear with legs, ergo anxiety, because I think about Moses saying, I don't want to have to go talk to Pharaoh, and here's the reasons I can't. And Gideon saying, I can't go lead a battle, and here are all the reasons I can't. And the spies, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, saying, we can't go in there, because I really begin to have a sense that I can empathize that they were really potentially expressing.
Well, I mean, they were facing real issues. I've got a book coming out this fall on Esther. Mm-hmm. And you know, you look at the story of Esther. Sure, she said, if I perish, I perish. But it wasn't until first she told Uncle Mordecai, hey, get your act together.
Yeah.
Quit wailing in the streets.
Yeah.
And he had to remind. So she had to, you know, have a little come to Jesus moment, if you will, herself. So all of these Bible characters, they're not single dimensional people. They're like you and like me. They're multifaceted, and they had to work things through. Yeah, like my friend used to say, that the reason that these characters were in the Bible is they happened to be around when the Bible was being written. Had you and I been alive back then, we may have been, I mean, just regular folk.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we're all dealing with the same fears and struggles.
I love that distinction, because you're so right. This is the cast of characters God had to work with at the time scripture was written.
He just picked that time. It could have been us just as easily.
Could have been us. And wow, I'm afraid I would have made quite the cautionary tale on several different issues for him. But I do love the idea for our kids to let them know that, yes, these issues feel big today. Yes, we're all walking through a pandemic, which is the first in our lifetimes to have to walk through. I've said to my kids, Max, during this season, I've said, look, it's my first pandemic too. You know, give me a break. I'm trying to figure it out too.
How old are your kids?
Oh, you know, we are all the way now with the eight of them. We've got one, the oldest is 30, all the way down to the twins who just turned 14. So
My goodness.
So we've kind of had every iteration of
what a household.
Yeah, it's a household.
What a household.
You know, and longing for the socialization that's been cut off all the way up to the older kids who are really looking at economic times and what does this mean for them and remote work. So we've covered quite a span over this season, but anxiety has definitely shown up multiple times as part of that conversation. And I think it's so helpful to know that this is not really unique in human history. The feelings can be unique to us,
certainly,
but it's not completely unique. Max, what would you say to a parent who is saying, wow, I want to help my kid with their anxious thoughts, but I know where they get it from. I know that they see it in me.
Yeah,
I know that they see me wrestle it. What do we say to moms and dads who are wrestling mightily, particularly in this season, with feelings of anxiety?
Two or three thoughts come to mind. Number one, I would say is you're doing better than you think you are. Mm-hmm. You're doing better than you think you are. We parents really, none of us give ourselves good grades.
Yeah,
I didn't. You may. Most of us don't. It's such a challenge. Yeah, how do you raise a human being? I mean, that's a job. That job assignment's just beyond any of us. But you really are doing better than you think you are. Just the fact that you care is huge. It's monumental. It really is. And then number two, I think you're hitting a good point. Fear is contagious. We might catch a case of fear from our spouse or from a neighbor, but so is courage. So is courage. Yeah. And so I think if you can express to your children when you are feeling anxious, say, honey, today I feel really wound up. You know, I feel really anxious. I want you to pray with me, or I want you to help me, or I'm remembering this verse out of the Bible today, or I'm standing on it today. You know, those kind of things where we're honestly working it through, modeling for our kids that life isn't always easy. Here's what I do when life gets tough. So give yourself some credit. You're doing better than you think you are. And just honestly live it out in front of your kids. There's nothing wrong with being vulnerable. Nobody wants to be raised by a super parent.
Yeah. That vulnerability is so key. Max Licato, always a joy to catch up with you. Thank you for the way you're continuing to look at this next generation and the next and being willing to invest in them. It's just always a joy to see you.
You are the best.
Check out the show notes for all the links, info, and other goodness from this week's episode, with a big thank you to our content coordinator, Rebecca. I've got a request. Please go like and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. It really does make a difference in helping other people find the show. And I'll see you next week here at the All Mom Does Podcast.
Yeah.